What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
All right, 11-1 here on the fan. It is the Tiki and Tierney Show. Got a big week, DJs. Going to be fun. Belmar, Friday. Come on out. No tickets needed, right, Hoff? I mean, just to be clear, you just show up and get loose with us, right?
Just get there, have some fun, just be 21 or over. That's it.
Okay. You seem a little distracted over there, buddy. It was very short and usually a little more verbose than that, trying to get that airtime.
I know. I'm sorry. I had my headphones in the
He's distracted. Oh, you're busy with something, aren't you?
I mean, you have to be 21 to get a drink. You have to be 21 to
come. No, you don't have to be 21 to come watch. Don't dissuade people from coming out.
Everyone show up. Let's go. Let's have a good time.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Someone wants to bring their kids down, say hello, say, hey, boom, what's up?
That's
hey,
right.
Hey, BT. Oh, hey, yeah. TK. What's up?
I want all those Met fans to come out and talk to me. All right. So, boy, oh, boy, what a couple of days does for you. Now, listen, even with the Scherzer injury on Wednesday, now, the Mets record up to that point was still terrific, and there were a lot of reasons to feel that this Mets team was different and is different, and they are. And you and I have said that. I think you could have two different things. You can still speak into, I think, eventual existence, the need for another legitimate bat. But that's not the conversation for today, obviously. Go back to Wednesday, all right? And I was watching it live, mm-hmm. as were you. And when Scherzer put that finger to his throat, I'm done, walked off the field, the SNY camera shots were so ominous around that stadium. You can see the angst palpably dripping through the faces of however many Met fans were there that night.
Almost like, what's going on? I know what's going on.
Correct.
Right? It's like, what's happening? Why is he leaving the mound?
Almost like a sad acceptance of the fate that many people talk about.
But just hoping beyond hope that that's actually not happening, that he had something seriously wrong with him. Now, it's not seriously wrong because he will be back this season, hopefully, Max Scherzer, but it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks, which is not, you know, an insignificant amount of time because once he comes back, now he's got to re-stretch himself back out to be Max Scherzer.
He's got to start all over.
He's got to start all over again when you take almost essentially 2 months off in the middle of the season and you come back after the post-All-Star break. And could that be a good thing? Sure. But in the short term, it's like, man, we got to hang on.
Yep.
Now, the beauty of this Mets team is that they are so resilient, right? Previous Mets iterations, they're collapsing, man. You know it. We've seen it over and over again.
So, yeah. Right? We've seen it many times.
Bad news happens. It just creates more, you know, bad play and bad execution and everything else. This is the difference with Buck Showalter and anybody else who's been in that Mets dugout. It's almost like they take this football mentality that we hear all the time. It's a cliche because it's true in football. Guy goes down, tears his ACL, turn the drill around, next man up, right? You just got to do it. Just next man up. Step up and fill that role that you didn't expect to, but now you have the responsibility of filling. This Mets team is exactly like that. They all seem to just step up and do their jobs when they're asked to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard trait to find. I think we've known it was there. But to actually see it in execution because of the adversity that they faced, at least with their starting rotation, it's impressive. It really is impressive. And there's no reason to think that they're not going to continue this, be World Series viable, get DeGrom, get Scherzer back, and all of a sudden be one of the best teams that we've seen in Mets history, maybe.
Calm down, buddy. I mean, go a little nuts here.
I'm telling you.
I mean, Hoff, you can clap all you want, but I'm not saying that they can't win a World Series.
I'm not talking about
they're never going to usurp the 86 Mets.
I'm not talking about the talent. I'm talking about the journey that they take.
I got it.
And it's more impressive when you have a journey that is filled with adversity.
I agree with that.
And you come through it the right side out.
I agree with that.
I almost feel like no matter what happens, The Mets are going to find a way to win.
It's a very easy team to root for.
That's right.
It's a very likable team. It's a very every man kind of a team. A lot of their characteristics, you know, there are some, like, I'll give you, I hate to just reach for the Yankee, but there are certain teams, right? Even certain
iterations. Well, I mean, it's fine.
Iterations.
People are familiar with the Yankees. So,
exactly.
So it's fine to use them as a comparison.
You know, there are certain...
The 1978 A's.
Like, well, what? Not the 78 A's, 78 Yankees. Like 73 A's, 72
A's. Yeah, 73 A's. I was just throwing a random team. Use the Yankees.
You don't want to talk about Sal Bando and Catfish Hunter and Reggie and all those guys?
Catfish and Reggie, I know. But.
The bottom line is this, though. There are a lot of qualities with this Mets team that are transferable to the rest of society. They grind.
That's right.
They've got grit. They're tough. They're resilient. Even Marte, first pitch he sees coming off the bereavement list, bang, it's a home run.
Right.
And those images.
Legendary. It's something you think you'll remember forever.
Well, I've always believed, just based on what I believe away from work, I just believe certain things are meant to happen.
That's right.
And that was one. That was a pitch that was going over that fence.
Starling
no matter where
Marte
it was.
Will remember that forever.
Yep. And I look at this team, right, and I say, all right, now the way Met fans felt Wednesday, and you can deny this if you want. That's fine. I'm not in your mind. Much like we're not in Donaldson's heart or mind. I'm not in your mind or heart. But I'm going to have a rough time believing that those stone faces, which I would have had as well on Wednesday night, you did not think that that frown would disappear this quickly. To go the next day with this galvanizing, titanic moonshot by your best player, walk-off,
yep.
and then have to take a 3,000 mile flight across the country, only to get snowed out, sit in your hotel for a day. I don't think they went to tubing or ice fishing. You're just trapped in your hotel. And then to come out and get some gems of a pitching performance multiple times and take 2 out of 3 against a team that's decent. Matter of fact, the Rockies' offenses, their numbers are really good. Man, that's just, it's a fantastic couple of days. And I'm going to say this. I think that, and I know, I think that most Met fans believe they need a bat. But I'll tell you what, Teague. I wouldn't even, you can sit there and say they're 8-up, largest divisional lead in baseball. I know all that, right? But if the Mets are going to be inclined to make a big move, and I'm of the mindset that they will, go do it now. Whomever you bring in, give that player a period to adjust to this team and this market. Don't just parachute him in late August.
Yeah.
Get him now if you think you can.
Yeah, if you,
push
if,
it. If keep you, your foot. Bury the
I mean,
Phillies.
I didn't think about it.
Bury people.
Yeah, I didn't think about it
bury
in that regard, but you're right.
Because that's a buryable division. Well, bury them.
It is, but it's also there's something about the clubhouse that's special. It's just true. Like you bring a guy in and, you know, it necessarily doesn't have you know, his stuff one day or the next, but the guys rally around one another. It's just, they're really impressive to see because it's hard to do that, you know, especially for a team that's not, they haven't been together for 5 years, right? A lot of his team is cobbled and put together.
Yeah, that's true.
In unique ways. It's just really damn impressive.
But yeah, think about how many of the current Mets were not even on the roster a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So, I mean, you've got, let's see, I could count at least 1, 2, 3... I mean, off the top of my head, I got 9 guys.
Yeah.
I mean, just without even really probing too deeply into the rest of the roster.
That's right.
Buck is phenomenal. And I told Tiki this a long time ago. I had a conversation, was with Jack Morris when I was working in Detroit a million years ago. And we were down in Lakeland. I was doing my show, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I'm talking to Jack in the bullpen after practice. Joker Marchand Stadium, which is where the Tigers train. And he said, we're talking about Sparky, that great 84 team. They start 35-5, et cetera. And he said, and it stuck with me, that he thought, and others have latched onto this, but he told me directly, he thought that there were 3 types of managers. The one manager who adds about 5 wins to the total, the one manager who has no impact, either positively or negatively, and the one manager, meaning, yeah, is net zero, or the one manager who's so sloppy in terms of bullpen management, whatever, that could lose you 5 or 6 games. And Buck is one of 2 or 3 managers that is +5.
True.
If not more.
And it's interesting because it's not necessarily, well, he was just really smart with that pull of the starting pitcher. He let this guy go just the right number of innings before he got loose. It's not even that.
No, it's deeper than that.
It's deeper than that. It's the relationships that he's developed with these guys and, you know, how he gets the best out of them every single evening, every single night.
And what you project, too. I mean, listen, I use the word ominous and SNY, as they scanned that stadium Wednesday night, it had a heavy, ominous feel. How could it not? And then I watched Buck's postgame show. He's fine.
Right.
What you project, you lived it as a player.
Right. You're right.
The players feel it.
That's right.
Buck is, what a great hire. All right, 877-337-6666. So as the Yankees hit the skids a little bit here, we'll get to Chapman's Achilles later, some bullpen issues with Green as well. The Mets just keep rolling along. First little stumble for the Yanks, and here the Mets are just rocking it. Michael's in Stony Brook, obviously the Tim Anderson situation with Donaldson's on the table still as well. What's up, Michael? How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So the Sports Illustrated article that Donaldson referred to in his apology.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Came in and out a little bit.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, yes, what up?
Let's go, dude.
You there?
All right. I can't wait for you, Mike. I'm sorry. I hate to hang up on people, but you got to be ready to go. You bring the show down when you're not. Manny's in Brooklyn. What's up, Manny?
Gentlemen, how are you? I haven't spoken to you guys in a while.
What's up, dude?
Not much, man. Listen, I'm going to be 42 this year. I'm in your age range, Tierney and Tiki.
Yep.
And you know what? Did I like the Donaldson move in the beginning? No. You know why? Because I hated the guy because he wasn't on my team. Because he's hard-nosed. Never once did you consider him being racist. He's a guy that you would see get under your skin. And, you know, you need that type of player on your team. Now, Tim Anderson, right? What if he would have compared himself to Joe Morgan, Ozzie Smith, or even like Babe Ruth? You know, what would be then? Like, you're the one that's coming out saying it. And then for Tony La Russa, this guy just needs to go away. Like, you're older than dirt. Go back into the main office. Go away. Go somewhere. You know, and then once you play that race card like you guys were talking about, there's no turning back from this.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think that was racist. How are you comparing that to be racist? The guy never came across that. Tim Anderson's a little bit of a hothead. Like, he already flipped off the fans. You know, and Rob Manfred, I don't think he's going to do the right thing. Like you guys said, he's going to suspend him, take the easy road out, and it's going to be absurd. You know,
and by the way, Maddie, if they do suspend him, and we're on the record, there's no way in hell they should suspend him. We also think that sadly they'll take the easy way out and suspend him. But by if and when they suspend him, in essence, you're rubber stamping him a racist.
That's
what you're doing.
That's right. And that's why you got to be careful about
yes.
this. I didn't even think about it that way, BT. But as soon as he gets suspended, then all of a sudden that 747 that's going 30,000 feet and just, Josh Donaldson suspended for being a racist.
Mm-hmm.
That sticks with him.
That becomes
the narrative.
I got a question for you.
When it's written 10 years from now,
exactly.
Oh, yeah, he was suspended for two games.
Yes.
Why? Because he called, you know, Tim Anderson the N-word. That's not what he said,
but
that's what people will read.
It's going to get very convoluted, Tiki. You're very right.
It's just jacked up, man.
And
it's jacking with history, Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you should, of any sport that should care about history, it's Major League Baseball.
There's no doubt. You know, I don't even know, and I'm not even sure if our listeners would really care about this now, but if you know off the top of your head, do you think, let's say they suspend him.
Mm-hmm.
And the strong inference, not inference, the basically, you know, the ruling
everybody,
is that he's a racist.
Everybody has said it.
Do you think that he has some sort of slanderous lawsuit against baseball?
No, he doesn't. I mean, I think he just, again, I don't think it's going to come to that. Because I do believe that there are some cooler heads that are prevailing in the front office of Major League Baseball.
So you don't think he'll be suspended?
I don't know.
What do you think? I know what you think should happen. What do you think will happen?
Look, I know it's changed. I know the front office in the Major League Baseball has taken proactive steps to change their interactions with the players. And one of them is CC Sabathia, but I know it's changed. My gut is that he will get suspended. I hope that he doesn't. Right.
Mm-hmm.
My gut is that that's because I've heard it too many times. Right, you hear it on a national broadcast from Buster Only. You kind of think it's going to happen.
Was David Cone? Because I was watching the game. I was coaching.
I was at my boy's house. I didn't.
Cone was jumping in.
I could hear it, but I couldn't tell who was in the booth. And I actually said
Eduardo Perez, Ravage, and Coney were in the booth.
Who was on this call?
Yeah,
and I don't know who was saying it.
I can't imagine Coney, and I don't know Eduardo. I know his dad. I know whatever, but
yeah.
I mean Coney is always. We know Coney. Both Mets and Yankee fans, just, and he's always been highly sensible. I'd be surprised.
It was the tenor of the conversation, BT.
Yeah.
There was no sensibility. There was no pushback. There was no, I understand this from being a former player, what was actually, there was none of that. It was
that's weak.
The Major League Baseball is going to come down hard. I'm like, in my mind, I'm saying, why? Like, why? Like, what are we actually talking about? Right? Are we just creating a narrative because it makes our broadcast sound intelligent?
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't
progressive
know.
Progressive?
I don't know.
I don't know what the word is either, sense. But I hear
it
you.
It didn't make sense.
Listen,
and the way it was injected in interviews. They do an interview with Tony La Russa. They ask him about it. Right?
I know.
They do an interview.
Of course they are.
They do
obviously.
An interview with one of the players in the dugout. He had an earpiece in. They ask him
I
about
saw
it.
That I saw.
Right? And it was just like, calm down. What are we talking about right now?
Let's get out the gas and let's make the flames a little higher. That's
right.
What it's all about. Let's face it. It is far easier to placate people than to stand up and do the right thing. Because when you do the right thing, you know, you're putting yourself out there for criticism and shrapnel.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
When it's of the race variety, whether it's racial or racist variety, that shrapnel comes in bigger pieces and far more damaging. So if I'm baseball, they're probably sitting there saying, even if they don't they'll never verbalize this to us, but if they suspend him, don't tell me for a second that their PR people didn't, you know, craft this plan. All right, what's going to have more kickback if we suspend him or we don't? And we all know what the answer is. It's the former.
Yeah.
It's not the latter.
I hope that they don't.
Oh, me too.
And I hope that the newer voices in there convince this not to make this as big of an issue as it's not.
I know you texted CeCe. When did you text him last night or this morning?
Last night, because I was listening to the broadcast, like talking about he was going to be suspended. Hey, it could be one or two games, or it could be a lot more. I'm like, what?
A lot more.
I was like, what are we talking about?
It's embarrassing. Vinny's on Long Island. What's up, Vin? How you doing today? You're on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney.
We're doing great, man, and I'm a big fan of you guys. I really want to applaud you for the dialogue here about this Josh Donaldson thing. Obviously, it seems as though, you know, you hit the nail on the head. There's a narrative that people are promoting. This is a personal dispute. This has nothing to do with race and other networks and agencies that are covering it like that. It seems like they're just trying to get a polarizing topic, you know, that's going to divide people up in a time when the country has real racial issues that we all can agree are a problem. This is not in that class, and it's important that we're able to, as people, look at these things and say, no, this is a personal dispute over words that were said. And like you said, Donaldson is that guy. He can push buttons. I think he's a great addition to the team. He has grit, and I think how you know, the rest of the team came to his aid when the situation happened, you know, just shows what they think of him.
Yeah. I mean, look, he may be a jerk, but he's our jerk, right? Type of thing. And I don't think that he's...
Thanks, Vin.
I don't think that he was being racist. We'll say it over and over and over again. But the only thing that matters from a national perspective is what Major League Baseball does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Major League Baseball's got a real opportunity here. We know what they've previously done, but if they don't get this right, I think it's going to get loud and really... really divisive.
I just don't know, like, what's going through Tony La Russa's mind where he just assumes.
I don't think anything. I don't think he was thinking about it. I think he was, I don't know.
Okay, but I you're probably right. In the heat of the moment, we all say dumb things. I get that. But he's now had a day and a half to circle back.
That's right.
And modify or contextualize or completely change his thought. How do you call somebody a racist that you don't know?
That's right.
I mean, that's just it's the height of irresponsibility.
It absolutely
for especially
is.
For somebody in a position of authority.
That's right.
I'd feel less worked up over this if it was some dope in the bullpen or a backup catcher. You're the manager. You are literally a position of authority. What you say, what you project matters. Awesome weekend for the Mets. Great Sunday for the Rangers. A little dicey at the end. I mean, Shesterkin was phenomenal. Good God. The Yankees with a rough Sunday. Donaldson, Anderson, the big story. Paul O'Neill is going to join us in a couple of minutes here. But as we wait for Paul, we can roll with you guys a little bit more. Dwayne's in Piscataway. What's up, Dwayne? You're on the Fan. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well,
I tried to get on with Boomer earlier. They wouldn't allow me to get on. I favor Mr. Anderson of the Chicago White Sox in this story. I mean, it's really cut and dry. The guy's offended. Donaldson tried to now come back and act as if First of all, they're not even on the same team. Why would he even have to have a comment to him? Just play baseball. That's what you're out there to do. Now he's trying to turn it into, like most people, when they screw up, oh, it's just a joke. The guy didn't like it. So you proceed to now act as if he's wrong, and now the fans, he comes up, and I'm surprised. I'm a big Yankee fan. They're booing him. So he hits the ball out the ballpark, runs around the bases, puts the finger over his mouth, and you got people on your station, which has never been the most sensitive to issues like this, getting on his case for doing that.
Mm. Oh, I don't care about that.
Dwayne, I think
you're right. Tim Anderson has every right to be offended because he wants his name to be represented the right way. I'm Tim Anderson, right? I'm not Jackie Robinson. Yes. I understand that. But our biggest issue and what we've been talking about since we started the show an hour and a half ago was Josh Donaldson being labeled a racist because he said something that Tim Anderson kind of put into the ether. Josh Donaldson's a jerk. We know this. Every team he's been on will tell you this, and he likes to needle people. He's like he's just trying to get under his skin and disrupt them. It didn't work. It didn't work.
Went too far this time. It's called going too far.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But that make him. But
should he be suspended? No. I don't think he should be suspended.
Agreed.
But I'll tell you what. They need to fine him. He needs to learn that there's no place in baseball.
Dwayne, I have a serious question for you, love your passion, all right? I'm happy that we actually got a call that's a little bit in contrast to a lot of the calls we've taken. Yeah. But my question is this, Dwayne, you just said that he should be fined, but not...
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Suspended. Yes. Okay, I got you. Hold on. But what are you fining him for? Because if the inference... If the inference is that you're fining him because he said something that can be construed as racially insensitive, then you may as well suspend him.
No.
You're going to fine him because it's the first time he's gone down this road in this manner. Okay? And the other part of it is he has caused something, especially on my team, the Yankees. Not just my team, New York's team. But we don't do this here. The Yankees have had a history of issues with African Americans. We're the last team to have one.
Yeah.
So we don't need this. We don't need this. We don't need it. We don't do this here. This guy does not belong in what we're doing. We're trying to win a World Series. We don't need this. We don't need these distractions.
Look,
need to play baseball. We lost the next two games after this.
Hey, Dwayne, it's his first strike, so let's put it that way. I don't think he should be suspended. If you're going to fine him, it's going to be because he created a situation that incited a brawl, right?
No punches were thrown, so nobody got ejected for that.
It created a contentious...
Well, created optically something baseball doesn't want, but you don't usually get fined for an optic... I mean, I don't know. I got to disagree. I really respect where Dwayne's coming from, but I don't fully agree. If you fine him, you're basically labeling him with a racist tag because you're penalizing him. What's the difference if I monetarily penalize you or make you sit? I still penalize you for something that is construed as racist, and that's dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it's parsing words at that point. Suspending him really says you did something that was not acceptable by Major League Baseball standards, and that would be obviously a racial issue. He didn't do that. You fine him, and it's make it nominal because he created an unseemly, playing situation where people needed to clear the benches type of thing. But there was no... It wasn't really a fight. It was no brawl. So
no.
I probably wouldn't even go that
way.
You're
going to fine Grandel for blocking his path to home plate? I mean, what's the other trickle-down effect here?
You're right, and that's the problem. You can't. Because if you fine Josh Donaldson, you have to fine everybody else that was involved in creating that situation.
Yeah, I just don't know why you would fine him.
Yeah. I mean, he just...
Fine him for
he's
what?
He's just talking about being, being responsible for the situation that he created.
We all have to take ownership of our responsibility and show responsibility, but I'm asking responsibility for what? And I believe, if I'm misrepresenting your point, by all means, check me. I think that you and others who believe he should be fined, it's because he misrepresented
by the way,
game?
I don't think that he should be fined. I'm saying Dwayne saying he should be fined. I can understand the reasoning. The only reasoning behind it would be because he created a situation that caused benches to clear.
But nothing, benches clear a lot and nobody's fined.
Yeah.
So why would you fine him?
Are
you trying to placate people? That's my point.
I don't know. I don't know. It's one of the, yes, maybe. Yes, you're trying to placate people. Maybe you're trying to create a situation that makes it feel easier to swallow when it's put out that way. So look, I don't think Josh Donaldson did anything that hasn't happened in any other sport in some capacity. Guys get needled. It causes a guy to get upset. Their emotions get inflamed, and before you know it, you have a situation that feels like it's getting out of control. Right? That's what Josh Donaldson did. I don't think that's a finable, a suspendable offense, but I can understand why Dwayne was saying this is what you would fine him for. The question now becomes, you know, what does Major League Baseball do? How do they handle this? And what did Josh Donaldson and Tim Anderson, how did they approach this? Mm-hmm. Like, their next comments.
Tim used the word disrespectful. You got to fine somebody for being disrespectful?
But it's been tossed into a completely different world.
But that's not Josh Donaldson's
fault. It's not. It's been tossed into a completely different world at this point. Yep. So now what Josh Donaldson says next and what Tim Anderson says next, and obviously what Major League Baseball does, because they've all now communicated. They've all communicated at this point, right? Major League Baseball talked to Josh Donaldson. They talked to Tim Anderson. They talked to Josh Donaldson again, right? Major League Baseball and the principals in this situation have all communicated. What happens next is going to be very telling about the state of baseball and where they feel like they are, where they're going. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens here.
All right. I was just trying to decipher what's going on in the control room. I'm going to take you guys a little bit behind the scene. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm always going to be transparent with the audience, and that's just the way it's going to be. So we're supposed to have Paul O'Neill on the show, and I love Paul. He's my second all-time favorite Yankee behind Mattingly. I love the guy. All-star, champion, batting title. Love him in the booth. We were supposed to have him on right now, all right? And he was on hold, okay? And he's got a new book coming out called Swing and a Hit, and Jack Curry wrote it along with Paul. And we were told, Teague, you don't even know this because I was just going through this as you were finishing up your thought on the air. We were told we cannot ask anything about Donaldson and Anderson. And I said, we can't do the interview if that's the case. I said, please tell Paul that we will navigate this responsibly. We will not belabor it. We will not put him in an incredible, but I cannot have Paul O'Neill on the show after we spent an hour and 35 minutes talking about Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson and not ask him about what transpired. So that sucks. No disrespect to Paul. I love him. Truly my second all-time favorite Yankee. But we got a responsibility to the show. That's the way it's got to be.
His new book is called Swing and a Hit, 9 innings of What Baseball Taught Me. He wrote this with Jack Curry. That's what he was on for. We gave him a plug. And
I'll read the book, too.
Yeah.
I did a Thuzio event with Paul.
I remember. He is the man.
But how are we... Listen, we've been on the air for 4 months here. We're just laying the foundation for our show. How are we going to do an interview, whomever it is? Like, Paul just happens to be the subject now, and no disrespect, Paul, whatsoever. How can we gain traction in this city? And how can we do what we were brought here to do, okay? To have people believe in us and trust us and deliver what we need to deliver when we can't ask a question about the biggest story in baseball. We can't do it.
Yeah. When we talked to Brian Dable, when we talked to Joe Douglas.
Yeah.
There's questions.
You think they wanted us asking about Daniel Jones's contract? Right. No, but we had to ask them.
There's questions you got to ask. You got to ask them.
Much love, number 21. That's nothing personal, I promise. 877-337-6666. All right, we got you till 2. We're on The Fan. That is Gardner Roberts coming up after us. And we'll get to that coming up next.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, hey, Siri, play WFAN.
All righty, 11:42 here on The Fan. Yankee tickets coming up next hour. 877-337-6666. Listen, without belaboring this here, there's a reason why WFAN became WFAN. And there's a reason why I was hooked right away. It's because subjects do not come on the station and tell us what they're going to talk about. And even if they're subjects that we love And there's not many bigger O'Neal fans than me. So sorry it didn't work out, guys. We wish Paul the best. I'm going to read the book. We gave him a plug. But this is what it is. Things happen. 877-337-6666. How about John on Staten Island? What's up, John? How you doing today?
How are you guys? I'm doing okay.
Good deal, man. What's up?
I've been listening for a couple of days now, and I finally had enough. I had to call in. Anderson is a grade-A clown. He's the one who started all this. Josh didn't create anything. You're supposed to get under people's skin when you play ball, T.
That's right.
You know that.
Of course. I started the show saying you wouldn't believe the stuff that people would say about me. I mean,
this is what you guys have heard.
Yeah, exactly. This is nothing. It's tame.
It's a total embarrassment that Tim Anderson even puts himself in the same breath with Jackie Robinson. Who does he think he is?
Well, John, there is context there, and we have to be fair to Tim. I don't want to be fair to everybody. Thanks for the call. I would suggest you go and reread the article, as I did this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take it, as a direct parallel, it's not. Now, if you just read the headline and that's what you infer or that's what you put out there and project, that's lazy, that's unfair. That's a misrepresentation of Tim Anderson's ultimate, I think, motivation in the article. And they talk about the dearth of black players. They throw numbers. It's a very good article.
Yep.
And he talks about a lot of different things. But, my biggest issue, my two biggest problems, number one, La Russa's role. If the player directly involved, Anderson, thought it was disrespectful, that's fine. And I certainly feel, I got you. Why is the manager saying that it's racist or racial? Number one. Number two, I need to see what baseball does. If they suspend him, they've got zero backbone.
Yeah.
None.
And unfortunately, it feels like that's going to happen. Right. I've said this multiple times already today. It's a different Major League Baseball because of some of the influences that they have brought into the Major League Baseball headquarters. But that being said, do we have faith yet that they're going to do this thing the right way? I don't know. We'll find out soon enough.
Pablo is in Elizabeth. He's on the Fantique and Tierney. Pablo, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you, Pablo. Pablo.
Okay, first of all, I love this. I want the Yankees to be the bad guys. Who wants them to be the nice guys of the league, saying they're sorry, whatever? No, you want people gunning after you. You want people to push you to your best.
Yes, but not with the racial component.
Yeah,
exactly.
But that's misassigned.
But if you listen to what Donaldson said, Anderson called himself that.
Yeah.
So all he did was just, he bothered him. He poked at him.
Yeah. And look, was he taking it out of context and poking at him? Yeah, of course. But that's what you do when you're trying to get under somebody's skin. You take something that they say and you twist it so that it fits your needling agenda. That's what Josh Donaldson was doing. Well, I don't think there was malice aforethought, like I'm going to make this guy feel like I'm racially insensitive. You're just trying to dig at him. That's what I got from that. And to have it be positioned as anything else in that just feels like it's a reach.
I think I think they're just trying to pump up their team. But the Yankees, I mean, to me, this is great. To me, this is, you want people to be thinking about them. You want people to be, overthinking about the Yankees. And you just want the Yankees to come in and just dominate the way they've been dominating.
Mm-hmm.
Donaldson was brought in to do stuff like this, and it's the type of person he is. He's just being himself. He's not being anything else.
I hope this doesn't change him, though. That's one of the interesting things. I don't think it will either. I just hope it doesn't. And we'll find out soon.
I don't think it will. And look, Tim Anderson gets the last laugh here, so to speak. They hit a 3-1 home run to basically bury the Yankees yesterday in a 5-0 win. Yankees were terrible yesterday. Double
header. Severino battled. He did not have his good stuff. And he had guys on base all night.
8 hits he gave up, and but there's no runs. The bullpen let him down, which is a topic we'll get to later, BT. The Yankees bullpen is all of a sudden in some serious trouble with Rawls Chapman likely, maybe to go on the IL for 10 days or more because he's been battling that Achilles injury, which I didn't realize until they said it. He's been getting treatment on for the last couple of weeks, but his fastball was sub-95.
Yeah, that's something's wrong there.
Oh, he's getting beat up if he's sub-95, as we obviously
saw.
Take
a month off. Let's see if somebody else is a better closer. That's okay.
Hey, Clay Holmes. Come on, Michael King.
Exactly, or Michael King. Let's get Mark, who's in Brooklyn. What's cooking there, Mark? How you doing?
How you doing, gentlemen?
What's up?
We're good, Mark.
I'm a lawyer, and I would if they find Donaldson, fine him off, suspend him, I would take his case in a second. against Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
the defamation of character.
I threw that out there, certainly not trying to start trouble, but I did just ponder, like, okay, so I'm just putting myself in Donaldson's shoes. If I got suspended, all right, and I know that there is no, you know, maliciousness, just kind of needling an opposing player, which last time I checked and is still allowed in this world, I guess. I know everybody's pretty sensitive these days, but I think you could still do that without the racial component, clearly. And if I felt that, you know, my name, which is all we have, you're born into the world, you have your name. And then through morality and how you live your life and how you treat others, then you have your reputation. But once that reputation is soiled, you know what? If I think there's legal recourse, if I'm Josh Donaldson, I'm going to probably sue baseball. I would really think about it.
He has 100%. Because what they're doing is they're calling him a racist.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And well, I would immediately file, the minimum would be a $200 million.
Wow. I need to get you on my side. That's aggressive, Mark.
Well, at least because, first of all, baseball won't let this go to court. Trial. They will settle right away because I would drag baseball through the mud.
Or what they could do is just do the right thing and not suspend him or fine him and just kind of let this thing go the right way, at least be rhetorically talked out the correct way as opposed to the incendiary way.
Right, because, I mean, I'm sure their lawyers are going to tell them not to do anything because, I mean, it's not only it's his future, you know, contracts. It's afterwards, it's his earnings as, getting even autographs, signings.
Well, the ability to monetize his name, and so thanks for the call there, Mark. So I'm sure some would say, well, how much more monetization do you need? He's got $137 million in the bank. I'm just throwing out a number. Okay, that's fair. But, you know, let's say he gets divorced and he loses half, or he has a bad investment, he loses 70 more. I mean, you never want to just say, hey, you know, I've got enough money. I don't need to make a penny the rest of my life unless you're, you know, just.
Yeah.
Unless you're Steve Cohen.
Unless you're uber wealthy.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, let's get Rob, who was up in the Bronx. He checks in on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yep, yes. We got you, Rob.
All right. Hey, Tiki, big fan, man. Always looking up to you.
Thank you, man.
You're
appreciate
a classic
you.
Pro, man.
Thank you.
And
thank
BT,
you.
BT.
Yes.
I got to say, I love what you did with the whole Paul O'Neill thing. I really appreciate that spirit. We need more of that.
You got it. That's really the only thing. That's the only way I know how to do a show, man. I can't have somebody coming on and dictating questions.
What's happening.
That's the best way to do it. You're the man. All right. So, with the whole Donaldson Anderson thing, you know, I don't want to go too far into it. I think, you know, we're beating it enough. But I got to just go back to your comments before about Donaldson, the two of you. And I love what you both said about his presence in the clubhouse. I think the guy is, you know, exactly what we needed. He's a total kick in the pants for, you know, some of the chilled out guys, you know, that culture that we've got over the past couple of years.
Yeah, you're right.
I think we needed this, you know, for a long time. And I got to say, I love seeing Aaron Judge out there. You know, I think he's got a whole lot of passion right now. I don't think I saw that from him in the past, but it's really showing right now. The guy's crushing it. And like I said, you know, I'm not going to hand it to Donaldson for doing all that, but the guy's the man. I mean, he's having such an incredible impact on that team.
No, you're right. You can feel it in so many different ways.
Thanks, Rob.
You know, obviously this is a conversation about Donaldson as it pertains to Tim Anderson, but Tim Anderson is having a really great career, like a young part start to his career, and he's going to be, you know, one of the great young players in baseball. Can he be the example that gets, you know, young African-American kids back into the game? Maybe, but there's got to be a lot more Tim Andersons, you know what I mean? There's got to be a lot more incentive for the young really good, because Tim Anderson could have played football.
He could have played anything.
He could have played anything.
He's that
you
kind
just
of
look
athlete.
At his body.
Yep.
He's got that. I don't know. He just looks like a really good athlete. Black kids haven't gravitated to the game in a lot of years,
which is the opposite of when we were young.
That's right.
I mean, you know, we always mention the names: the Dave Winfields, the Jim Rices, Dwight Gooden in the mid '80s coming up. You know, I mean, Willie Stargell, Dave Parker. They were prominent black players everywhere.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't quite been that way.
It hasn't
for a long
been
time.
That way. And if Tim Anderson wants to
make, there's a lot of reasons why, to be fair.
But if he wants to get on his soapbox and make that his cause,
then he
should get on his soapbox and make that his cause. And not compare himself to Jackie Robinson, but say, this is what I want to happen. Every interview I do, I want to encourage every young black kid to pick up a bat
right? Go find a mentor or somebody who's going to teach you the game, right? Make that your cause. And good for Tim Anderson, because a lot of this is coming off as we're knocking Tim. I don't want to knock Tim because Tim's a great player. But we're actually protecting Josh Donaldson from being labeled a racist. And that's just not the case. It's just not how I see this. And maybe Tim Anderson sees it. I don't think Tim Anderson sees it this way. I think Tony La Russa said it, and now people are assuming that Tim Anderson sees it that way. I need to hear from both of them downstream from this a little bit, because it's gotten twisted, and I think that's not a good thing for baseball. It's not a good thing for the Yankees or the White Sox or Josh Donaldson or Tim Anderson.
I'm sure, you know, we're on the air when they're on the air. I'm sure it's being debated all over First Take and, you know, all just pump more life into it, the other shows. You know, listen, you could have this conversation and get distinct separation between what we perceive to be an unfair stigma attached to and really thrown at Josh Donaldson's doorstep while still liking what Tim Anderson does for baseball.
That's right.
I mean, it's not pitting one versus the other.
I don't want that to get lost. Exactly. I don't want that to get lost.
And I know that's why you went back there, and I'm happy that you did, because, listen, if we're in Chicago, we're going to gravitate more, I'm sure, to the Tim Anderson side. Mm-hmm. Now, you would think that humanity would just naturally gravitate to the most fair side, which is to making sure somebody's not unfairly labeled a racist, but I'm sure the tone's different in Chicago. I get that. But, no, both parts of the story can be true. Tim could be great for That's baseball. Right. Donald's could be a pain in the ass, but not a racist.
That's right.
That's it. 877-337-6666. Teke and Tierney on the Fan. We got Yankee tickets coming up next hour. Hoff, here's, see, real quick on this. I got an issue now. We start at 11 o'clock. I know that this stuff is a big story. I get this. We start at 11 o'clock. We talk about the Mets. Give them love. Encourage calls. Talk about, you know, just the angst on Wednesday, SNY, the camera shots. And all I'm getting is blitzed on social media. Why don't you talk about the Mets? We did. You guys didn't join in. So if you want this to be fair, you got to rep your team. And only so much we could do. We gave them platitudes. We gave them flowers as the kids. Gave them everything. But you guys got to jump in and take the baton. So wake your Met fans up, Hoff.
Listen,
get out of your coma.
It's just a tough. It's tough. Look at the lines are jam packed. The lines are jammed right now. There's only so much
push them out of the way. Here's what I want you to do. I am giving you I'm giving you instruction, a directive.
Uh-oh.
Get rid of, what do we have? Full lines, right? So get rid of four of these Tim Anderson calls. And Donald, get rid of those right now and get three or four Met calls, so we'll juggle both.
Mets, you hear that, Mets fans?
Do that, but they have to handle their business. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.